You might as well stay standing.
I'd like to call to order. Wait, what are you doing yet?
You don't want to leave Julie up here by herself.
The May 7, 2025 Town Borough Council work session. Please stand and join me to the flag.
Wait here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone.
Yes, you may do it. Please be seated. Do we have any public to be heard? Okay, moving on, Michelle.
Right off the bat, I have nothing that is to be forwarded for the regular council meeting. I will let you know that the State and Court Street development, we've tried probably four times to get a hold of the contractor developer and have been unable to thus far. And for 110 North State Street, that development, we have received the final plans, and that will be on the next Planning Commission agenda.
Court and State, we need to be in touch with them because trees?
The four trees, right. Okay. There are four trees that have to be planted off-site. That was part of their land development approval, and that is why we're trying to contact them, is to get them to plant the four trees at a park in the borough.
And they plant them. We have nothing to do with that.
Yes.
Right.
That is what the agreement says. Whether how we work that out now, we just like to get a hold of them, talk to them about getting that done.
And I was hoping to fold all of our tree list in with that.
Right.
So I may just separate them now. Do our stuff.
Okay.
Thank you. Great. Any questions in the phone? Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
John, you ready for your report?
I'm ready. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you. All right. Couple of, we got quite a few special events going on that I need you to take a look at prior to our meeting to approve. Looking for motions for Movies in the Park, sponsored by the Recreation Board at Lint Memorial Park, Wednesday, June 18th, June 25th, July 9th, with rain dates on the following days.
No, yeah, I wrote them down. It's June 19th, June 26th, and July 10th. So it would just be the third day after.
Excellent. And so that would be Thursdays then, right? After?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And then 7 to 10 p.m. Music on the Street, sponsored by Opus Outreach Foundation on State Street, Thursday, July 10th through August 28th, 6 to 7:30 p.m. There are no rain dates. And Light the Night Pink, sponsored by the Main Street Breast Cancer Nonprofit, Thursday, October 16th. 6 to 9 p.m. on State Street, from Washington Avenue to Center Avenue, with no rain date. So that's three events. And we had one come in that I don't believe you have just yet. It may be in your mailbox, but you will have to take a look at prior to the meeting. It is from, it's the 125th anniversary of Friends Village fundraising event. Wow, that's tremendous, 125 years. It looks like it would be May 2nd. It will require some streets to be blocked. Congress Street between East Center and, I guess, see, that's form in Congress.
John, it is in share file. And I believe
I'm looking.
October 2nd.
Yeah,
October 11th.
I'm sorry, I put the submission date. Yep, October 11th. 2025, and looking at the map here, it looks like it's blocking off South Congress Street. So basically in front of Friends Village, alongside Friends Village,
They're driving Center Avenue.
Yes.
What they're looking for.
Okay. All right, so I got that. And then, so just, you can take a look at those four. If you have any questions, either reach out to myself or the chief. The chief has reviewed each of them. And then just a couple special event reminders. Arbor Day, sponsored by the Rec Board, will be at Brian S. Gregg Memorial Park on Thursday, May 15th. So a week from tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. And the rain date is on the 16th. And then the Memorial Day Parade, sponsored
John,
by the... Yep.
John, quick question on that. The
yep.
calendar, it says 9 a.m. to 12. Just want to make sure that on the calendar, it says 9 to 12.
But maybe they reserve the park from 9 to 12? They have to set up.
Begins at 10 because somebody was asking me.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Because the kids don't get to school till 9 o'clock. So by the time they get them over there.
Tracy sent out an email looking for volunteers this morning, and she said to be there at 9 to start at 9:30. So
yeah, so the kids, the kids will get there between 9:30. Yeah, that's so they would it would take
Thanks.
Attendance and squared away and get over there. And then where was it? Memorial Day Parade, sponsored by the American Legion. It's on May 26th, 9 to 11:30 a.m. along designated parade route, followed by the vintage baseball game. I know we had Kevin O'Shea come in and talk about that. That's at Pickering Field at 1 p.m. and there's no rain date. So there's two event reminders. And oh, and then I believe we have the fifth grade walking tour. That is June 4th, Wednesday, June 4th. So that is in Borough Hall. If anybody wants to stop by and see anybody coming in and out of there, I'll be there.
Okay. Hey, John, just to follow up on Memorial Day Parade. As a reminder, we were all invited to participate in the parade. The deadline to reach out to them was April 30th, but if you haven't and you feel like you want to ride in the parade, I'm sure they'd still take you.
Okay. Thank you.
John, Julia, I've a question for you. I looked at the special event applications, and there's like less and less information every year. There's only no information on most of these. Like, I had no idea. Like, if I'm going to approve it, I really don't know. Like, where is the music on the street happening? Where's the location of it? Things like that. I'm noticing that this has been a trend. So I'm just wondering, does the chief get more information than we're seeing so we can say, oh, yeah, that's okay. We don't have any information about what the activity includes. There's just not much stuff there.
Well, I think...
Don't even list the streets.
I think with regards to, say, music on the street, it's the same location. And maybe the chief just felt... What's that?
Location, John? Which location? It's been in various places.
It's in front of Opus.
In front of Opus.
Yeah. So that's he's sponsoring it this year. I think when it was down off of behind you guys, it was sponsored, I think, by Andy from the theater. So depending on who's sponsoring it, but I can ask the chief to make sure that if there is more information going forward to include it.
Okay. Appreciate that. Because otherwise it's a blank.
Because the other ones have site maps and drawings in the links.
Not all of them, no. And then sometimes it says the approved route. Well, we don't see the route. We don't even know what it is.
Yeah, so, again, I think that's because it's the standard route, but I can ask them to include it.
Yeah, we should have more information.
You got it.
Okay, thanks, John.
You're welcome.
Right, moving on.
Yep. The mobile food vendor food truck ordinance has been updated. It was run by the Burroughs carrier who... determined that they would not require the E&O insurance for the borough's purposes. So that's been revised and should be in final form for authorization to advertise at the next meeting, which will then send to Bucks County Planning Commission and schedule a hearing date.
Great. So is there any reason we need to wait two more weeks to authorize advertising?
Just that we don't usually vote during... I mean, it's on the agenda, but it's not on here as a motion.
It's not on here as a motion. But, well,
it did.
It's our, We did on a different version. I think it would be fine for us to forward it to, because it's already reviewed by the Borough Planning Commission, it would be fine if council is okay with it to send it to the Bucks County Planning Commission for their review, to not, because that's a 30-day out from the hearing, and then we can still authorize to advertise at the meeting in 2 weeks to set a hearing date for the June business meeting, if that's what you so choose.
Otherwise, it actually would have to go to July, because you got to give 30 days. It's
probably not enough time between the
two. Yeah. So it just, I mean, not that I'm in any rush, but I'm just wondering why authorizing advertising is,
it's just custom, it's not requirement.
I mean, we can do it now. Can we do it if there's not a motion on this agenda?
We can just discuss it, and if no one has an objection, I'll send it to the Bucks County Planning Commission, and then we'll still put it on the business meeting agenda to set the hearing date and do formal advertisement.
Right, but I think what Julia's question is, can we vote tonight to formally advertise?
I'm saying I don't think we have to vote to move it forward. I would still wait to vote on hearing date for 2 weeks from now.
Okay.
But that doesn't delay the planning commission process.
Okay. Does that work for you? Okay. All right. And I'm not going to ask because there's no questions. Craig, is this in your face too much, son?
Okay.
Craig, moving on.
Sure. Thank you. At some point, not that long ago, I don't know when it was, but an ordinance was passed around the chicken coops, and in the ordinance stated that a fee would be established by council, and we never did that. I believe we had one come up. Mm-hmm. We did process that through with just the zoning, $100, which is what our fee schedule has. But for example, patios are sort of a distinct separate thing, and we have a separate fee for that at $100. So if we want, or we can, in order to follow up with what the ordinance has, we would want to set a fee for that. I'd recommend $100 seems appropriate for an evaluation if there is an application for a chicken coop.
It's for the issuance of the permit, the chicken coop.
Yeah.
I was going to say, while you're at it, Craig, do we have an actual fee in there for short-term rentals, which has been around for
yes.
a while? Do we have a designated fee?
Yes, because I looked at the fee schedule today to make sure where the chicken coop could fit in. And it's
right,
like,
and there's one there. Okay.
Yeah.
When we do this fee schedule, is this like a formal voting?
It's a resolution.
It'll be a resolution.
Because the Shade Tree wants to change their fee schedule for like how much they get fee in lieu of, depending on the diameter. They're changing it. It's like kind of like a step function now. They want to make it more linear.
Is that the same? That's a fee, part of fee
resolution? I'm not sure if that's part of the fee resolution or set by ordinance, so we'd have to review that.
Okay.
But I would say have the Shade Tree Commission make their recommendation to council.
Okay.
And it can be discussed at a future work session.
Right.
And then we can decide
that's
how
what
to
they were
going to
do.
It.
I was just wondering, I get Ted to speed that up if we can piggyback it on this fee schedule thing, but it sounds all
right. I think that this is the intention of this is to have the fee resolution prepared for 2 weeks from now to have the chicken coop fee in place. I would say that if anything, council wouldn't be able to review Shade Tree edits till June.
Yeah. So if we all agree that the proposed $100 fee, then Craig will just update the current fee schedule, put it on share file for our meeting in 2 weeks, and we'll vote to make that change. All right.
Emily, real quick, I'm just here to answer any questions for the event. I know Julia mentioned that she's not sure of things. I'm going to get out of here. I just wanted to see if I could answer any questions about the Light the Night Pink event. That's the only reason why I'm here.
Oh, does anyone have any questions?
Leave the dog.
Maybe do that. This is Charlie, everybody. She's our new job dog. So if you want to visit her, she's in Germany. It's fine. Thursday and Saturday. But I'm just here if there's any questions, if any of you had anything.
I have a question just about last year's. There was a thing with putting, well, I think it's to council. There was a question about we had the Paint the Night Pink. don't know if it was banners or something like that. And then we also had Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And so we had some purple ribbons going on. I don't remember. My mind's a little fuzzy. How did that work out? And did we end up putting those?
Listen, if you want to put up purple ribbons.
Okay.
That's fine.
Yes.
I just don't want, I'm sure you guys don't want this either. The town jumped up with things. And right. We don't really put pink ribbons up. We just change the lights pink.
Right.
So my suggestion last year was to see if we can put the purple ribbons like on the doors of the shops or somewhere within the shop so that it's not on the street. To be honest with you, I didn't even see the purple ribbons.
They didn't end up putting them on.
No problems with them
okay.
Putting them up at the same time. I just think if maybe they're in a different location than the light posts, that might be
gotcha.
Advantageous. Just so you know, last year we raised $100,000.
That's amazing.
It was an amazing reflection of Newtown. So we want to invite all of you to volunteer that night. So if anybody is interested, it's very easy volunteering. So
what will you be doing?
You'd be either selling raffle tickets or giving people information, or you can even, if you want, you can set up a borough table if you want to meet and greet the people in the town. But we want to invite you because it is a Newtown event and it represents us so well. We want to invite all of you to be part of it.
Okay,
great.
Super.
Any
questions?
No, we'll vote on this in 2 weeks. I don't foresee it going differently than it has in the past. So.
Okay, that's no problem. All right, we're out here.
All right, thanks. Bye, Charlie. Okay, so Craig, moving on to Steepleview.
Sure. Steepleview Phase One, the liquor store and housing, had in place a maintenance bond, similar to what we spoke with earlier. That apparently has not been released with some of the property transactions. I guess just surfaced administratively on the owner's side, and they are looking to have that released. They need a letter to do that. I spoke with Michelle. As far as we can tell, everything is buttoned up and there's no reason to withhold that release.
Mm-hmm.
So we would put this on the next meeting for an action item.
I'm just thinking about the maintenance of the lots that are part of the Steepleview property that aren't always properly maintained. Would releasing this escrow give up any kind of our leverage to make sure they maintain that?
Okay. It's the escrow is for the public improvements associated with Phase One.
I just wanted to make sure.
So we don't really have a ton of discretion here, really. It just takes an action of council.
Okay. All right.
So I remember from way back when that building was built, that there were certain site improvements that they were allowed to delay to incorporate into the larger project. Now, were those things that would have been covered by that maintenance agreement? And since they never did it, they weren't there. They were trees and things.
The maintenance period is just to cover the improvements that were constructed during that phase one construction.
Not the things that were delayed.
Correct.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So we'll add that to the action item for the next meeting. Fire service and me, we're kicking that to Emily's report.
So as you know, last year we voted to renew the 3-year fire services agreement for the additional year through the end of 2025. At that time, our fire committee, which was Josh, John, myself, and now Craig, made it very clear to you guys that while we suggested doing that for 2025, after that we wanted to really pull back from that agreement and reevaluate and restructure. So in order to do that, in order to get out of that agreement, we have to give them written notice within 180 days. So that would be June 1st. So this vote would be to do just that. Send them that formal letter. And they are aware that if the vote goes the way that I think it will go, that they will be receiving this letter. We met with them as recent as yesterday. What the restructured agreement will look like is still to be determined, but we've made it very clear we're looking for a very simplified provider customer kind of agreement that doesn't have kind of all the stuff that's muddying it down right now, especially with them merging with the NFA and all that stuff. So,
Craig brought up an interesting statistic, I think, at the meeting. You were talking about how much our the rate or has changed and gone up just since we've been in the agreement from the initial start to now. It was a pretty big percentage change, correct? Or
yes.
Do you remember?
He was doing it by millage. You were going by millage.
That was the millage
change.
But it was like, was it like 40% or something?
I think it's fair to easily say it could be more than that. Yeah,
right. And so the concern is that a lot of the mechanisms within the agreement are not working out in a way that allows us to adjust and plan and really think about the future and do due diligence for our taxpayers. So I think it's something that we should reconsider. And that's one of the reasons that for sending this letter.
Yeah.
When's the deadline to present them with
the
amended agreement?
We're meeting the first week of June. And so I was going to reach out to Greg they are asking us to put together something based on how we feel versus them trying to figure out and come to us with something. So this is me reaching out to Greg, which I know we'll have to talk more, but we're hoping to present a rough version of what we'd like at that June 2nd meeting, because you know they'll have to take it back to their group, and they've already presented us with a number of what they believe we owe in 2026. In order to get to that number, we have to raise our millage to 9, and the limit is 10. So I think they're going to be more open to the customer provider, and then we're really going to have to talk about the cost. That's where we're going to. So.
Yeah, the other option is, I think, within 90 days, just to give them notice, our intent to renew. So this
right.
is just really gives us full options to redo versus redo.
It's a signal for renegotiation.
So that's what we'll be voting on in 2 weeks. Nothing else, just to send a letter that we want to restructure and that kind of thing. Any questions or comments? Okay, back to you, Fred.
Sure, and I'll be going to Mr. Josh.
Yes.
In your packets was an email from Josh about the language in the Human Relations Commission ordinance, and I'll
So the committee, as you know, we have quite a few new members now at this point. And they're doing a really nice job tackling some of the issues, but they also have some fresh eyes on what's going on. And I think that one of the things that came up is they're looking at the ordinance 95-1 purpose of declaration of policy. And it talks about this issue to ensure that all persons, regardless of actual perceived, and it goes into race, color, sex, religion, ancestry, genetic information, national origin, sexual orientation, gender identity or expression, family status. It goes into all of these statuses and so forth, but it goes on to say to enjoy the full benefits of citizenship and are afforded equal opportunities for employment, housing, and the use of public accommodations and the equal access of post-secondary educational institution. It is necessary that appropriate legislation be enacted. But it's this idea that the question that they had is the wording of benefits of citizenship. Does that mean that this rule does not apply to only applies to citizens? And then how would you know? And then that gets into sort of like the question of, well, what are we talking about here if we're
that's
not
discrimination
against
in and of itself.
People. And so I wasn't here when this ordinance was written. I don't know if anyone has any comments to that if that line is necessary in the ordinance.
So I think that's a really good question.
And the other thing is that our published materials, I believe, do have this language in there about citizenship. And so I think it's something we should clarify before they move forward with future items.
So
publication.
This is the declaration of policy and intent section. So it's not a full regulation and does not limit it to those with citizenship status would be my recommended interpretation of the section. But I do agree that it provides some ambiguity that the enabling statute for the Commonwealth and the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission, which the borough has conferred similar responsibilities on the borough's Human Relations Commission, addresses a little more broadly in saying that it's a matter of discrimination that threatens the rights and privileges of inhabitants of the Commonwealth, which is the intention of the act. So I know you raised maybe some other language issues as well in your email that may want to be reviewed by the Human Relations Commission. So if council so chooses, there is a model for language to kind of modify that declaration section to be clear that it's not limited to those with the United States.
Yeah, another one that came up was people were asking if gender identity is still the correct term or if gender expression would be a better term. I think that these are some of the things that they're asked.
To answer that question, they're different.
They are
different. Now it says sexual orientation, gender identity, or expression, those are three different ways to identify. And I my recommendation to you is they're all still valid and distinct.
Okay.
So the original version that was passed, I know it's been modified a little bit, was based on a model that we got from, I think it was the Equality Forum.
That's right.
Yeah, and it was based on one that had been passed in Doylestown, one that had passed in New Hope. I mean, that were actually themselves undergoing revision as we did ours. So I'm wondering, are there newer languages out there floating around that would be better to adopt and modify since it's been a few years? Change.
I was just looking for something at my office. We have a licensed music therapist, and she sent around not too long ago a document she wrote about the use of the word neurodiverse versus disability, and, mm-hmm. and so I'm trying to see what that is, because I think that's changed recently.
And those are things that if council wants to make adjustments, could also be considered as part of this.
But I think the idea, the language around citizenship to me is troubling. I think inhabitants of...
That sounds better. So by citizen with a small c, meaning something a little different than citizen of the country. So, but I can see how it could be misused.
Nowadays.
Nowadays. What we have going on in our current climate.
Right. Oh, I agree.
That's definitely an item of questionability. So
I'm just quickly looking at some of the other ones, and I know that there was a model ordinance that was circulated, and they seem to all use that that language of full benefits of citizenship. So,
I'm sure it meant the low C. Well,
It is in a lower C with the others,
Agree. I mean, there are people who live here legally who are not citizens.
Well, I also don't think that we can't guarantee the full benefits of citizenship as a borough. Period.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, I think the language is just.
No, if council would like us to put together some suggested revisions, especially on that, and I mean, we can always do a review of the ordinance to see if there's any other, which we have done in at least one other municipality, to like you were saying, if neurodivergence or other type of recognized identities should maybe be included, we can certainly make those suggestions.
Okay. I think it warrants a little look at it because it's been how long?
Well, that one was passed in, 2011?
Yeah, okay, then it definitely was
Lawrence. And is it a first for us?
It was the first one for us, and it was a very low number in terms of Pennsylvania.
Right.
But
it hasn't really been looked at as drafted.
It's still not that many.
Four or 5 years ago, there was another
edits.
Okay. But it was minor.
These are small things, but I think they speak loudly.
Yeah, no, I think the last thing that had to do with process.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank them for bringing this to our attention and let them know we are working on it.
Cool.
Okay. Is that it for you, Craig?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, well, my one thing was the fire services agreement. So moving on to Julia.
So thank you, Greg, for your write-up about official maps.
My pleasure.
So the question that, it lays it out. I guess the question for council is, would you like to pursue this and go further or not? So to add to what Greg had put together, we already have a comprehensive plan, which is fairly new. At the same time, our open space and connectivity plan was passed, which has maps in it, which do designate properties that might be of interest to the borough, particularly as it regards parks and trails, which I think are probably the main topics that you would want to include in an official map. So a lot of that work's already been done. Certainly there is a process that's laid out by law for the MPC and how one has to go about this. But the benefit to the borough, as I understand it, is that if a property comes up for development, such as happened across the street, that we already have something in place that says we have an interest in doing something with part of this property and then be able to negotiate how that might come about. There are a couple other properties in town that are ripe for development, and we have obviously have Steeple View is still out there in terms of being able to, if we had an official map that had what we had interest in on it, that would make it easier for us to negotiate with the developer. So I just bring it to council. The EAC is really interested in moving forward with this. And the question is, does the rest of council want to do this?
The parcels that you've already identified in this, whatever that
was.
The
space plan, yeah.
There's no date on it, so I'm not sure when it is.
It's
2022. They still it. The more, I mean, is this kind of what we're looking at
point? Because, the EAC and our consultant at the time walked around and said, oh, look at this, you could do this. And you might want to think about an official map where you have these things on there and do the process
right,
in case you want to move forward with it. So but that doesn't mean it's not exclusive. It's not inclusive, entirely including everything. There might be other ones that might come forward. And you'll notice when you read that is that a lot of the trail stuff actually includes properties that are in the township. So it's like our official map can't use those, but it does say like we would be connecting, say, with the township.
Is it typical that a municipality's EAC does this? Because I understand the open space part of it,
right,
but after reading Greg's memo, I'm like, this sounds like a planning thing.
It is. I think it's a cooperative thing.
So is this something that if council agrees to move forward, the EAC and the planning commission would be doing together, or?
I
think legally the behind the scenes work can proceed however council wants it to proceed, whether it's the EAC putting together some suggestions or the planning commission or both and coming to the table. Ultimately, it has to be reviewed by the planning commission.
Oh, okay.
As similar to like a text amendment or map amendment process. But
it just seems kind of cumbersome. So I was like,
but it could be staff, it could be EAC, it could be real, whoever council wants it to be doing that initial assembly work.
So for the planning commission to start, what do they start with? What are the documents they look at? Like, do we start give them this? How do they get jump started?
So my feeling is we have to go back and look at the comprehensive plan and see what it said is what were the priorities of the comprehensive plan that have to do with planning. What certain areas of town could be used for, and then to use also to take to the planning commission. Here's the open space plan that was produced around the same time as that comprehensive plan. And the comprehensive plan actually references the open space plan. So they were actually composed around the same time by two different groups, but they interact with each other. And then to then start working to present the plan to the planning commission and to get their feedback and obviously council's desire and then go from there. So I know
you said sure. present a plan to who presents this
I would
plan
say the EAC today. Has done the most work already because we did the open space and connectivity plan. So the EAC has done all the grunt work, so to speak, to say, and then that consultant put together the map and said, well, here are some potentials. But then it obviously has to go through the planning commission. It's a planning document. So to get feedback back from the planning commission to decide if they're in agreement or not. And then I guess then what? Goes back to council, and then we have to have an ordinance that permits us to create an official map. And then
it's reviewed with the county planning commission as well.
Everybody has to review it. Public review time and all.
It's shared with neighboring municipalities, a comment period. It's very much like the comprehensive plan process, which I know most of you haven't been.
Not just period for review.
Right.
A public hearing similar to like an ordinance public hearing. Just we would advertise it. Similar to an ordinance.
So we don't have a special meeting?
No. Okay. It can be within the borough's regular meeting schedule.
And and obviously the properties that would be involved would need to be involved.
They would get noticed.
I mean, like I said last time, I feel ambivalent about this, and my main concern remains public perception, but I'm willing to do whatever everyone wants.
And to answer a question, I think Gina may have been your question before. It's only a building permit, like building a notice of building or land development. So it's not a sale does not trigger it. It's not every time it changes hands that right of first refusal starts. It's just a development when development is going to be on the site, something that would potentially affect that.
Would development include if somebody wants to put a garage in the back of their property that would be on what might be on this official plan, like on North State Street, if somebody wants to put a garage and it's still within the boundaries of where they can do it, but there might be.
I believe it's submission of like a permit. Like, so yes, if there was a permit required, I think there's also an understanding to, in a way that this, it's not an easement in particular, but creates an easement like mechanism where you may put the shed there or the garage, but with understanding that someday the borough may have an interest. But it really comes as part of that development, not something we would just be able to come in untriggered unless we started an eminent domain process.
Right. Do you mean any permit? Like if someone wanted to put a chicken coop? I mean, seriously.
Not any permit. Okay. I believe it's building or land development.
And what happens if there's a negotiation phase with a private homeowner and the private homeowner says no, I don't agree.
So either it fails or we move into eminent domain.
Okay.
Yep. Which is the normal process. This doesn't give us any more rights for condemnation. Mm-hmm. It just gives us a period of negotiation before we have to start that.
Mm-hmm. And the properties that were identified in the open space and connectivity plan were not small residential properties. They were properties that looked like they had, that were larger and had a potential for future development. Or that already had an open area that could be conceivably used. So, it's not like, I don't think people need to worry that their little residential property is at risk, because it's not. That we wouldn't pick properties that were like that. Like, that's not kind of in the scheme of the borough is already built out, except for certain areas.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
However, I'm just thinking once again of North State Street. If
right,
we want
right.
a walking trail, it's going to be every single house on right. North State Street. Yeah.
Potentially.
Again, but if someone, it would be building, and I think it would only really trigger it if they were to enter the area designated under the official map as the area for or impacting the area for the walkway trail or the setbacks therefrom. So
does the official map give us any right to start a process if somebody's property is on the official map? If we want to start the walking trail and we've got Newtown Common, and now we've got the next property probably, and then we want to keep going. Does the official map give us any right to initiate?
It would still be condemnation.
Okay.
Other than just approaching the property owner and asking them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But at least gives them some notice. This is the concept behind it. The someday maybes.
So, are you up there?
Julie, can I ask one more question?
Oh, yeah, you can ask me a question.
Julie, do you remember where you brought this up first, where the package of information would be, for example, this document?
I think it was March.
Was it March?
Possibly.
Session?
That document is actually on the borough website under plans and studies. That one, if you want to see the whole thing, it's there. Yeah.
Okay.
February work session.
February. I printed them out.
Yeah, there's the three documents that Julia provided in February work session.
The process work, if there's like, let's say that, you know, you have a group of people who are like on board with the larger properties, but maybe they are concerned about, I think what Gina's asking about, like the more of the private homes along the creek bank back there. And so they create this plan, right? And then who decides like, oh, we want this part of the plan, but not that part of the plan? Is that part of the process?
Council decides. And that's why there's the process of the planning commission reviews. Obviously your borough planning commission is a public meeting when they review it, mm-hmm. and you're required to have the presentation, the 45-day comment period, and a public hearing to give the opportunity for council to be fully informed on people's positions. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't memorize the memo, I apologize. but I think any affected property gets direct notice as well. So if you're thinking that, you know, the North State Street properties would be included, then they'll get a letter that, you know, your properties might have been identified for inclusion on a potential official map. This is the process, this is your opportunity to comment, this is the public hearing, you know, and then you get a final vote to adopt the map. And in that process, you can remove properties or add properties as the process sees fit, or the property process informs you to do.
Mm-hmm. But in reality, they can still come to any meeting and talk in public.
Absolutely.
Which might not be a lot of fun.
Would it be accurate to say that this mechanism gives council a little bit more leverage in terms of controlling the overdevelopment of the borough? Because I'm thinking about what people are going to hear and what people are going to read.
I think it ensures that the borough sees certain public features be included as part of the future development of properties. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the better way to couch it. I don't know if it gives your zoning ordinance regulate use and density and setbacks. So that is kind of your mechanism for regulating quote unquote overdevelopment. This is more about public features in certain areas of the borough.
My term overdevelopment is just some people don't want to see development.
Understood.
Okay. I didn't mean like large monstrosities. I just mean in general.
Well,
I know the rest.
I mean, if we're putting it out to the public and we're advertising and people know about it and the particular properties that are going to be affected will in particular know about it, then I'm kind of inclined to proceed and see what the residents feel about it. And I can see a lot of value to this. It's just kind of an unknown what the people that live here are going to think. So I think it's worth exploring it and and seeing where it lands and just kind of having a wait and see attitude as we go through the process, maybe.
And the next steps are just to get the planning commission, like the EAC, to get its packet together, so to speak, and talk to the planning commission. Like, is that the way it goes?
I think it's purposely broad for each municipality to determine how they want it to move forward. Mm-hmm. It's really the public part of the process and the hearing and notice requirements that the law concerns itself with to make sure the public is aware and property owners are aware of their the potential impact of public resources on their private property. But how you want to develop, like I said, it can be the EAC, the Planning Commission, it can be staff, it can be a committee of council, less than a quorum, that can meet and develop, and it can be any combination thereof, really. You can form a official map committee to meet and pull the best people in the borough together to determine what the recommendation is. It's really broad on purpose.
So you guys are
I think I'd like
I agree with you one as well. Just go ahead.
I think it's a good idea to explore, especially if it gives a little bit more we didn't say leverage. Yeah, I agree.
Choosing my words.
Yeah. Okay, so do we need to vote on that or no?
It's direction from council to start moving forward. There's no action yet because you're not authorizing a hearing or adoption or anything like that. I think it'd be something that is just worked on.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
All right. You're not committing the borough to anything at this point.
Gotcha. Already
at my house.
All right, Julia, moving on to your benchmarking that looks
okay,
good.
So, I just wanted to remind everybody that the EAC of the township and the borough are jointly presenting tomorrow night at the Chancellor Center at 7 o'clock. And the title of the program is Native Plants, Thriving Habitats, How You Can Help. And there are several speakers. Also, the Shade Tree Commission apparently is wrapping up a tree, and their Gino's Nursery, which is a perennial native perennials nursery in Greystown, is going to be wrapping lots of plants.
Texted my mother to remind her.
It's something that's going to be a really, really nice program. We've been talking about how you can improve. You know, you can bring in more native plantings, even though you might just be doing it in pots on the porch. And there's, I think one of the speakers might be talking about this whole idea of the national parks in your backyard kind of idea. I don't know if you've heard about this. We're saying, like, if we look at everybody's lawns across the United States, we have enough acreage there for like a huge national park. So if everybody did something that nationally, it would make a great improvement to the environment. So it looks like it's going to be really good and want everybody to come. There's another event happening on Saturday that I guess we should put under the announcements. It's not actually the book.
Yeah, let's wait for announcements.
Yeah, I'll do it next. So, anyway, that's it.
Okay, thank you. Dina?
We've had a couple resignations, one from the Environmental Advisory Council, but we also just yesterday received an application for a new person, so she will end up being presented at the next council meeting for approval.
No, I think we can just review her application before Tuesday, before next meeting and vote.
Okay.
Yes.
Personnel is on here as a general.
Okay.
So I think if you just have it in the share file for the next meeting, we can go.
I think it's in there.
I think it's there already.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
GD's on top.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fine. We don't need to wait on that.
Okay. And still perpetually looking for more members for the Human Relations Commission. So it's a challenge, but still looking. And then Zoning Hearing Board, Mark Cohen is moving.
Yes. Yeah.
So this month I think will be his last month. I have reached out to our current alternate, Andrew Northrup, to see if he has an interest in taking the full time, I guess you'd call it, position.
Mm-hmm.
And then if that's the case, then we'll be back to looking for an alternate.
Two alternates.
So I looked through some of the previous applications. I thought there were more for the zoning hearing board, but there haven't been a lot in the last few years, because I thought I could reach out to some of those people. Yeah. But so if anybody knows, that's a certain special, well, they're all special skill sets,
yeah,
but
it's a little different.
That particular one, yeah. You have an expertise in that area.
Okay, well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any old business? Okay, well, I want to start off announcements by saying what I forgot to say at the beginning of the meeting, which was council met in executive session prior to this work session to discuss potential litigation and real estate. And then the only other announcement I had, and Craig, you can correct me if I'm wrong because I may not have the most updated information, but I just wanted to announce publicly that Center Avenue is going to be closed again starting June 2nd.
Oh, yeah.
For approximately 2 weeks for Pico and Newtown Artesian under street work between Washington and between State and Sycamore. Is that right?
Very close. Thanks for reminding me. June 2nd is definitely the time period for 2 weeks for the Artesian work, and that will close the Center Avenue area from 9 to 3. I think is their work day, so it'll be open otherwise. Late, yet to be determined date. However, there's a whole other thing which I'll have more information. So at some point in the next probably 2 months or so by now, Pico will be doing that same area, but they will also be going from Center Avenue south on State all the way to the Borough Line. Mm-hmm. And that will close that area intermittently and permanently for up to 2 months.
Glass.
While they go on, there's a 2 month period where they have to go under the railroad tracks and then under Old Skunky, or is there another waterway?
Yep.
So more to come on that. Gina and I are meeting with the business folks on Friday. We'll let them know.
That's great.
And then we'll put as much formal stuff together. So more to come on that. But that's going to be significant later. Most of the summer, and they expect that they would button it all up by the fall. So late summer, fall is, but when they start, I don't know.
And will this include them repaving the road?
Yes.
We made a part of the approval of the road opening permit, whether or not they, I think Craig's working that out.
Because that pothole's that corner keeps opening up every 5 seconds.
It's a state street, so whether or not the state requires, they're going to be trenching, and they're going to be putting in laterals too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to probably mean that they have to pave curb to curb all the way.
Okay.
So, okay.
All right. And they'll be safe with our new bridge, right? Our rehabilitated bridge.
Yeah, that bridge, okay. The water line won't be going down that part of the gas, so stopping short of that.
Sure. All right. Any other announcements? Thanks.
Okay. So there's another native plants water, stormwater program that's going to be presented on Saturday. And this is being presented by the Bucks County Conservation District, along with various watershed organizations. And it is going to be up in Wrightstown at the Grange, on the Grange site where the Penn State Extension building is. And they are going to be presenting a number of presentations on, again, native plants. There's going to be a native plant sale. You want to buy plants. It looks like it's also going to be good.
I went to that sale once and it was pure chaos.
Yeah, well, this one's also good. We've got a new person running it. It's a new person running
it. It's like the Hunger Games.
Everybody's like, oh, my God. Karen Ogden, I think, is running it. She's new at the Bucks County Conservation.
Her name sounds familiar to me.
Yeah, she's not the one. There was someone there a long time. We should know. Anyway, so that's happening. I think it's like 9:30 or 1 or something like that. But that also sounds good.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any other announcements? Any public to be heard? I will entertain a motion to adjourn. I'd
like to make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
For a second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes. Thank you, everybody.
I sent you that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Make sure it sounds right.
Yeah.
And then I'll still own the steeple fields.
Oh, okay. The ones that you were reading out.
Yeah. And they're gone now, right?
Good night, everyone.
Good night, John.